Accession number 19103, Reel 2.
Ernie Hammond, Reel 2.
Well, Belfast, I like Belfast. I like the people there. And I've made good friends there too. But one day we were playing football. We're going to play football there before the ship sailed. And this chap said to me, "What religion are you, Ernie?" I said, "Well, nothing to do with you. What religion I am?" He says, "Well, if you're a Protestant, you walk up on the left-hand side, and if you're a Catholic, you walk up on the right-hand side." I said, "Well, I'm neither. I'm Church of Turkey." And he laughed his head off. Anyway, he carried on and played football, and he used to take me to his house, and his mother used to bake potato bread or something. Oh, she used to feed me up. She must have felt sorry for me, I suppose. But she's a lovely family they were. I've forgotten. Up in the Grosvenor Road somewhere in Belfast. Anyway, every time we used to come into Belfast, I used to make for that house anyway. There was such a lovely family.
What were they called?
Up the Grosvenor Road.
Doesn't matter if you can't remember anything.
Anyway, she said to me one day that I used to take the daughter out as well, I suppose. And she said to me, after I took Isabel Maxwell, Mrs. Maxwell, that's right, Isabel Maxwell. She said to me, "When are you going to marry Isabel, Ernie?" I said, "I've only took her out 3 times. I'm only 19 now." I said, "Give us a chance, for God's sake, Mrs. Maxwell." Anyway, they were all right, and I didn't take advantage of the kid at all. I said, "She's just good company. She was a nice person." Anyway, we sailed anyway eventually, and we got out through the Hebrides. Well, we went to Londonderry first, from Bangor Bay to Londonderry. That's right. And we met other ships in Londonderry. Now, if you're a Catholic, you call Londonderry Derry, I was told. And if you're a Protestant, you call it Londonderry. So if somebody said Derry, you knew you were a Catholic. But I didn't worry about religion anyway. It didn't worry me what they were. So anyway, we sailed away. And it was a lovely trip through the Hebrides. Oh, fantastic. And Captain Nash, one of the best captains I've ever served under. He was a real captain, he was. He was like a father to all the young crew, you know. And we had fire, and we used to fire on all this, carry practice firing and all that. But I remember all the beautiful white lighthouses on the coast. You nearly could really touch them as you went through the Minches, you know, up to Pentland Firth. You know, Pentland Firth is known for its being rough up there. But it wasn't. It was calm as a mill pond. And eventually we finished up in no trouble at all. One or two scares, apparently, of U-boats. But we got as far as Iceland anyway. And we anchored in Iceland. That was a... We hadn't seen any action until we got to... to Iceland. We didn't see any action at all. And then, after a few days in Iceland, in Cedarsfjord, we sailed away again. I went and bought a submarine up there called the Trident. Showed me the chap that I knew. Look, he was on board, and met him in the barracks. And he showed me what was what, and I said, "Oh, of course, I don't fancy this job down here. Where's your bunk?" He says, "Well, you see that torpedo tube?" He says, "Just above there." Such a confined space. Oh dear, oh dear. He couldn't swing a cat down there. But that Trident apparently was one of the submarines who torpedoed the Prince Eugen. You know. So anyway, and it's all some. It's funny because I remember going aboard to watch a film show before we left. Don't know what the film was all about, but anyway, the a nice few days of ice. I like the Icelandic people. I'd met them before, and they were lovely people, Reykjavik. They didn't go much. They didn't like the idea of the British being there, you know, because we accommodated the place, didn't we? Before, because the Germans were there, before that. Anyway, all these American Liberty ships start arriving, and the Yankee escort just didn't come with us. They just turned around and went back to America, they did. And they didn't stay with us, just the Liberty ships that did. Different kinds of ship tankers and Christ knows what. Ships laden with tanks and planes and all upper deck stuff. And everything seemed to be really peaceful, and I thought, well, this is good. This is about five or six lanes of ships, there it was. Commodore ship was ahead, and we were astern of the Commodore ship. That was a communication ship, the Commodore ship, I think, what I remember. Anyway, about two or three days afterwards, we had this Fokker Wolf, called a German Fokker Wolf, going round and round the convoy. Out of range it was, apparently. And then we had a British Catalina going round the other part. That's the only plane that we saw for a couple of days. And then my job was to climb the crow's nest every now and again. My job, stay at the crow's nest for a couple of hours, right, at the top of the mast there. Climb up the rigging and get in the crow's nest and stay there for 2 hours with reporting what I saw, you know what I mean? Anyway, I reported this looked like a U-boat on the starboard side, told the bridge, with the result the two destroyers made for the object, what it was, and next thing I heard was depth charging and all that carrying. And then I'd done my 2 hours, came down the ladder, and a bloke relieved me. He went up there, and action stations went because some unidentified aircraft or something or other. And my job was to go on number two turret, B turret, I think it was. So that's on the forecastle, so there's two turrets on the forecastle. And my job was to keep the gun with ammunition, loaded with ammunition. There's lockers, there used to be lockers on the turret, and the 4-inch shells used to be come up from the magazine. We used to put them in the lockers and then into the breech when they were required, you see. Well, action stations went again, and we were stuck up there. And I think that day there was this hurricane ship, it was what they call a cam ship. The hurricane took off, and I could see these three lines of planes coming along the water, really low, in three sections. And this, I watched this hurricane going amongst them and break them up, you know what I mean? And his plane hit the water because he couldn't get back anyway. He had to ditch. And he come floating past us. He come floating past us waving his arm, I guess. Fantastic. I thought, that's a brave man. But I didn't realise till I read a report later on that he'd broke his leg as well, you know. That he was a South African pilot, apparently. So that was that. Anyway, the planes came in, and I've never seen it. Well, I mean, everybody opened up. The barrage was, you couldn't see the sky for gun blasts, you know, the shell blasts. And everybody was having a go, and you seemed to go, shell after shell was going in there. Jesus. And the planes started coming amongst the convoy. And one flew past our forecastle and hit this ship on the starboard side. Went smashed into the ship, it did. Well, there was a young subby on this turret, and he had a camera. I thought, sir, where's your tin helmet? You know? Anyway, he was taking photographs. I thought, dear, oh dear. Anyway, this ship went up, and the mast come down like a matchstick. And then there was just a pool of oil and the plane and the ship. That was it. No, there was nobody, just a pool of oil. I thought, Jesus. Anyway, I thought, that's terrible, that is. Anyway, but you don't think, you're not thinking, you just get really flustered. And anyway, action stations, we did the planes went eventually after a few were shot down. And then that was PQ-16. And then what happened then? Oh, we went down below, and we were down below about an hour, I think, having something to eat. And action station went again and again and again. And a friend of mine, well, he was a three badge bloke called Butch Fry. He had his locker next to me. And we went to get our towel and soap out our locker to have a wash. An action station, we'd been there standing an hour. We'd both fell asleep, getting our towel out, you know? And we're still there an hour after the action station went again. We were so tired. Oh, dear, oh, dear. And then you get really flustered. And you think, oh, what the hell's happening? That's the experience, you know? You're like, I mean, them days, you only had you only flash anti-flash gear in the helmet and a couple of plugs stuck in your ears, didn't you? That's what you had, that's what them days. Anyway, we plodded along and for 5 days, I think it was, we fired the whole 7,000 rounds of ammunition, somebody told us anyway. And then, oh, what happened afterwards? Oh, yeah. There's a bloke called Hogg, big mouth he was, and his job was to fill the cages up with ammunition. And that was another one. This warrant officer sent me down to this magazine to help Hogg because one of the shells had cantilevered over and it was dangerous and sticking and he was shouting his head off, Hogg, down below, his Edinburgh bloke. And my job was to climb down the ladder, get the shell out the cage, get it up top, which I did. Hogg says, thank Christ for that. And then I, on the upper deck, and being so bloody innocent, well, I don't innocent, but I sent this WO, because all the ship's crew had gone onto the forecastle while I was doing this. And I didn't realise. I said, what should I do with it, sir? Get the bloody thing over the side, he said. I said, put the shell over the side, and everything went back to normal then. And that was that. So next thing you know was, the Russian Navy's coming out to help us. One old cruiser came out, the black smoke belching from its funnel. And apparently one of the Russian ships within the convoy that had been hit and was told, they were told to abandon ship, but they wouldn't. And I heard afterwards when we got into Archangel or Bakaritsa where we went, that was a woman and she'd give birth to a baby in the action. They wouldn't abandon ship, they fought the fire and it was aboard and got it back up there. But before we got to Russia, every ship had to go as far north as they could. I remember that. And we went with three or four ships. That's all I saw after the convoy split up. And we were iced in. We couldn't get out the ice. And all of a sudden, over the horizon came this icebreaker. I remember Joseph Stalin, they called it, that chopped the ice up. Well, when the ice got broke up, we made a channel and the other ships followed us. But while we were doing that, these 9 Stukas came down, dive bombing, you know. So we put a barrage up against them, and they the bombs missed, and chopped the ice up a wee bit for us. Anyway, eventually, and they called it the White Sea, but it wasn't white, it was red, with the logs, the pine forests and that, the big logs. And these logs used to hit the ship, or the cord, it was like a bang, you know. I mean, only an inch or half of steel in the ship, isn't it? Bang. Oh, Jesus Christ, because you're all on edge anyway. And anyway, we got up to a place called Bakaritsa and got alongside there and had to stay there till we got more supplies for ammunition to come back.
Could you get off the ship?
Oh, yeah, we went into Archangel. We played the Russians football and everything, volleyball and all that. And the threat is okay. The only one incident I had was I was walking down to play... to play a game of football, and this Russian Red Army bloke stood in front of me and just spit in my face, just English, like that. I thought, oh, that's nice. And the we always had somebody with us anyway, a Russian a guide, like, because they wouldn't, you know, they were suspicious as well. I don't know. I couldn't have learned anything up there anyway. And she said, nit, 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 nit. So, nit. He's full of vodka. You don't know what he's doing. You know? Don't touch him. You know? You finish up in Siberia. I said, all right. So he carried on. Though, just he must have been bomb happy, you know. And the poor buggers did suffer, didn't they? Hmm. And that was that.
What was it like in Archangel?
Archangel, a nice city. Yeah, I like that. Nothing in the shops to sell, mind. No food. And I remember a Scotch bloke up there, he was another Scotch bloke, he'd had too much vodka, and he threw a brick through this window, and this woman, Red Army woman, fixed bayonet, she had a rifle on it, and she chased this Scotch. I've never seen a bloke run so quick in me. He would have done the 4-minute mile, I think. Oh dear. Anyway, we got back to the ship, and the Red Army arrived. Oh, dear, the train loads of this Red Army people arrived. Each chasing us up onto the ship, we go up the gangway, get us off the jetty. And we loaded Russian gold on board. You know? He brought gold back to England. Well, Gurik, we unloaded it. And we had the Marines, Royal Marine survivors off the Edinburgh, we brought them back. Well, a funny thing happened on the way back. I'll always remember, I always wonder what happened. Maybe I shouldn't say really, but on the way back, before we got to Murmansk, because it was a secret base, Murmansk was a Russian secret base, but we were allowed in Archangel everywhere. We were told to get the scrambler net out and put the scrambler net over the side. And we cut down our speed. We were still doing about 2 knots coming through the channel with about 3 or 4 ships. That's all we had left. And suddenly this light came from ashore, and the signaller was. And I suppose somebody replied on the bridge. They knew more about what we did because we weren't told all that much. And this small boat arrived alongside. And a hood, the bloke was hooded, we didn't see his face at all. And he got up on the scrambler net, the hood was still over his head, straight the officer's mess. And we were told to sink the boat, that was it. Put the scrambler back and carried on. And when we got to Gurik, Scotland, we had to work like hell to unload the gold onto this Liberty ship, an American Liberty ship. And this bloke came down the ladder, still hooded, and they were sure. None of the crew saw his face. And I often wonder who the hell he was.
Where was he taken aboard?
I don't know. Well, he was taken aboard just between down the White Sea near Murmansk. Well, he was, I don't know. We never knew. Anyway, we got off Spitsbergen, and this tanker had been in Spitsbergen waiting for us to pick her up on the way home, you know. She wasn't with us long, she got torpedoed. And another, I think it was a Scylla, another ship called a Scylla corvette, she got torpedoed. And then, apparently, I didn't know this, but it's hearsay really, but I read it something about it. Some of the convoy that was coming back went off the wrong, was 100 mile off the, they went into a British minefield anyway, and four got sunk.
Was this tanker and the Scylla torpedoed along with you?
Yeah, on the way back to Iceland, yeah.
Did you see the torpedoings?
No. Just seeing the ship sink. I didn't see this torpedo, no. I just saw the ship go down. Mm. I mean, I hate to see any ship go down. They always seem to go down by the stern, you know. And when you see the blokes jumping over the side, I mean, I saw that in the landings in Algiers, Oran. I saw that. We were alongside this bloody ship coming back from the Mediterranean when the ship wasn't very far away. I mean, as far as that fence, I suppose. And she got we were lucky there again. We didn't get that torpedo. She got torpedoed. And I saw this bloke leave the Cali. He's white, he had his whites on as well. And we were told never to grip the rail. Because once you grip the rail, you can't leave go. It's called a death grip. You know what I mean? And he just went down with the ship. He couldn't move. I saw him. Poor sod. Eh? Called a death grip. Never. Yeah, sailor's always got to carry a good knife with him. And he's always have a good knife with you. But they cut the old dunes. My speciality was when they used to lower the Carly floats and the boats, you know. I thought, oh, you'd get that quick and you can lower the bloody davits, the davits, so get the board down and the slip. The bloody used to, about 3 foot off the water, crash, where you go. We had that off to a bloody tee, that. I mean, you know, you had to work hard. I mean, it's okay. But when you used to get these little snotty people, midshipmen, you know, that was going to be subbies. I mean, one we had to scrub, I told you that. A bloke called Bannister. He was a Fleet Street reporter during the war, before he joined up, you know. A good report writer and everything, but he wouldn't wash. So all the lads got together and we scrubbed him. And anyway, we got...
Was that in the Allen Bank?
On the Allen Bank, yeah.
On PQ-16?
Yeah, 16 I think it was, that one. 18 wasn't so bad. 18, we had more escorts. We had a Woolworth Carrier was of that, the next six.
Before we go on to 18, you said you were coming back on PQ, after PQ-16.
Yeah.
You went to Gourock.
Near Glasgow, yeah.
What happened then?
We unloaded the gold. Unloaded the gold. And then we went on to Belfast and got leave. And a funny thing happened there in Belfast. I mean, we were all uptight. We were all really uptight, we were. And we couldn't care less about anything. You know, we worked so damned hard and we were all overtired, I suppose. Anyway, there was submarine crews, there was destroyer crews, a lot coming from... and we all arrived in Larne, right? Well, when we got to Larne, there was must have been about 6,000 sailors in Larne that waiting to come across to Stranraer, right? Well, orders was, we'd only got 4 days leave anyway. The civilian ferry was allowed to cross the Irish Sea, but not the service one, you know, service personnel. Apparently there was a U-boat in the Irish Sea that let the civilian boat across, but not the, well, everybody was full of Guinness anyway. Things start to happen. Somebody shouted, right, we'll take the boat, take that trawler across. And everybody, all these matlows and Chrysler, we all went like sheep down to this, take this boat across. Next thing I know, there was several officers trying to calm us down. And there was bottles flying, shop windows broken, God knows what, bottles flying everywhere. Anyway, the next thing I know, there's about 12 Bren gun carriers coming down the road with a load of army blokes and their fixed bayonets, and chase us down this, we were arrested, all a lot of us. We were put in Nissenuts for the night anyway.
Which town was this?
In Larne. And my brother knew about it in the Pacific. He could have been shot. But I said, not me. I said, oh, just one of the bunch. They couldn't shoot 6,000 matlows. But Lord Orhall got hold of it. William Joyce, he would have, right, propaganda, that would have been, wouldn't it? Anyway, they let us out the next day, and freezing it was in there, no fire. My mate and I had to walk around probably all night to keep warm. Anyway, they gave us an extra day when we got home. And anyway, we got back to Belfast, and I don't know what happened then, but we all had scabies. We caught scabies. 165 of us caught scabies. And that, we were taken to Belfast Hospital in busloads. That was an experience, I'll tell you. And I remember the Belfast Hospital where they took us. They had a big fire in the middle of the room, like in a coal burner thing, you know. Warm, it was quite warm. And these two male nurses got these like a hard scrubbers and scrubbed us all, scrubbed all the heads off the spots, you know. Well, after that, they didn't dry us. They told us to get in front of the fire. Well, when the heat got to the fluid they put on, you know, the liquid, God, it was like a million bees stinging you. You know what I mean? You ever seen about 60 sailors running around in the nude to ease the pain, you know, around a ward? That was a laugh, that was. Anyway, got rid of the scabies, so eventually. That was funny, that was.
Had you caught the scabies on PQ-16?
Must have done. Must have got it somewhere. I mean, scabies spreads, doesn't it? Bloody green spots on your chest and your... Oh, murder. Anyway, all got, everyone seemed to get anyway. And there wasn't many didn't get. Anyway, we got back off leave, and that was it. That was PQ-16. And we had a few days leave, and after that, well, that was the next incidents. I mean, Belfast was great, lovely. I mean, they welcomed us, they loved the